Welcome to War Room, the official podcast of the U.S. Army War College online journal, graciously supported by the Army War College Foundation. Please join the conversation at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. We hope you enjoy the program.
Greetings, War Room podcast listeners. This is Jacqueline Witt, Professor of Strategy and the War Room podcast editor here at the Army War College. Today, we're kicking off a series of podcasts on intelligence. In the episodes that follow, we'll have five interviews with professionals in the field, both practitioners and academics, and each of them will highlight some of the key ideas about intelligence and critical analysis and critical thinking more broadly that we're exploring here at the U.S. Army War College. Leading this effort is my guest in the studio today, Dr. Genevieve Lester, who was recently appointed as the DeSerio Chair of Theater and Strategic Intelligence at the War College. And she holds a PhD in political science from the University of California, Berkeley, and is the author of the book, When Should State Secrets Stay Secret? Accountability, Democratic Governance, and Intelligence, which was published by Cambridge University Press in 2015. So welcome to the studio, Jen.
Thanks for having me, Jackie.
I'll start with what I hope is an easy question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about the relationship between intelligence and national security?
Definitely, and thanks again for having me. In terms of intelligence supports everything in national security decision-making. It supports long-term projects, strategies, plans. It supports decision-makers because it gives them greater context for the realm in which they're dealing, and it gives us ultimately a competitive advantage over our adversaries.
Okay, so is intelligence just synonymous with information?
This is a very interesting question, and there's a certain level of debate about this. Information is information. It's all the stuff we're getting all the time. It's a cause for concern for many people who are dealing with national security issues, because how do you find the needle in the haystack?
It feels overwhelming, right?
It is. I would suggest it's overwhelming for everybody. For the public, currently within news, for example, what do you believe? What's truth? In quotation marks. And for national security officials who are wading through floods of information, how do they find that nugget? And by that nugget, I mean that one piece of information that fits into a mosaic of other pieces of information to support a plan and a strategy, to give awareness about a potential threat. Intelligence is slightly different from this. It is part of information, but it is finished analysis produced for the purpose of national security decision making. This is very generalized right now, the way I'm putting this, but ultimately intelligence itself has been processed through a cycle, information has been collected, analyzed, and sent back to a decision maker. Then it goes in another iteration. So the decision maker may say, this is fine, I need another piece of information on this other aspect of it. So that is the more refined. It's a piece of information, because information is everywhere in our world, but it is a refined, analyzed piece.
But I think that's a really useful distinction, because you have the difference between sort of raw data
exactly.
And data that you can use, and then make decisions based off of it and respond to and add more information to it and change it over time. And that seems to be maybe the utility of intelligence, right? Especially for decision makers.
Definitely for decision makers, and definitely in terms of what our students here at the Army War College need to understand. How to use these flows of information. And I'm speaking particularly here about the non-intelligence specialists here in the student body.
Sure, because we'll have some students who are intel specialists, either with intel agencies or as part of a military intelligence sort of specialization, and they might be the ones who are responsible for analyzing that information, analyzing data, putting it all together and making sense of it. But others of our students will be advisors or commanders who may actually receive intelligence reports or maybe are using intelligence to make decisions. Are there other ways that our students might encounter intelligence, broadly speaking?
Well, I think you really laid it out in the way you put it, which is the students who are not intelligence experts here are going to be using this. They have been using this throughout their careers. What we're doing now at the War College is making them more conscious of intelligence. And by conscious, I mean make them more adept consumers of the information. So we're working on analytic methods, heuristics for ways of thinking, how to enhance critical thinking when it comes to information. How do you ask the right questions of your analyst? How do you know what is not present and what you need? What are the capabilities of the intelligence that services that are you're relying on? All of these are the sort of educated consumers requirements. We need to be able to teach students that even though you may get an Intel briefing at the beginning of the day, for example, that you need to have questions. You need to push back. You need to see what else is needed and complete an understanding of intelligence on your own. We are trying to make adept consumers of intelligence, basically.
That's interesting, but to me as an educator, because it sounds like what I want students and decision makers and policymakers to be doing with all of the information that they're getting, right? The vast information flows, right? Too much data, too much to read. And I want them to be better at sorting through and figuring out what's important, what's not important, what's missing. So I think it sounds like one of the things that the focus on intelligence can do is to actually make better critical and creative thinkers in a wide variety of contexts, not just in a narrow sense.
Exactly. And one of the things I like about working in intelligence studies is that we're secret. We're there all the time. So, for example, we pull our methods from a range of disciplines. But we can say this is just critical thinking. But all of this feeds into intelligence analysis, different ways of thinking. How do you criticize your own assessment? How do you criticize those of others? And I mean this in the most productive way. How do you know when a good source is a good source? How do you know when the information is credible? All of these things run through critical studies. They run through, in my day, a good social science education, because we must learn to question and we must learn the broader context. We must widen the aperture. And intelligence and intelligence studies, the tools drawn from intelligence, are very helpful in doing that in several ways. One of which you've already brought up, which is critical thinking tools, thinking about biases, thinking about human nature, really, and how that can skew or at least affect the outcome of decision-making process. We also look at leadership styles, looking at how an individual's leadership decision-making style can really affect how intelligence is used. In other ways, we talk about the interagency process and think about what hinders communication between agencies, and thus what slows down or alters decisions coming out of that system.
Because Intel is also, there's a huge sort of bureaucratic element to this as well, right? It's not just an analyst talking to a decision maker. Maybe the Intel picture isn't exactly clear. Maybe the communication across agencies isn't what it needs to be. So that's there's all sorts of complicating factors.
Yes. So there are actually even complicating factors between a decision maker talking to an analyst. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You've named some of the sort of major maybe debates or dilemmas when we think about Intel. Can you walk us through what you see as some of the big picture questions for people who are concerned with Intel? Like what questions are people in this field asking right now?
Right now, they're wondering about their legitimacy on the international national stage. That's one thing. And this is, in this current administration, there's been a lot of pushback on what is produced by the intelligence community. There's been a lot more friction between the community and the executive branch, between the community and the administration. So that's one thing. And that leads, though, to a broader question of the legitimacy of secret agencies in a democracy. And that's a question that is going on all the time right now. It's the flip side of operations. It's how do you oversee secrecy in the United States? What is acceptable? What do we as the public accept in terms of our agencies operating on a different level that we have no access to? That's one. There are other things that are recently coming up, which is how far do you go to collect information? Do you use what we call enhanced interrogation techniques, which are now called torture? How far do you go in pushing someone's human rights, essentially, one could argue, to get what you feel is a crucial piece of information? Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Again, back to the beginning of our conversation, is how do you deal with enormous floods of information? Human analysts cannot process everything that's coming in. So what do we rely on next? We talk about artificial intelligence and different styles of computing and machine learning, but ultimately it comes back to a human looking with some objectivity at a situation and making the final decision. You cannot rule out the humans, but where do you get them? And back to decision making, how do we make sure that we've ruled out subjectivity and bias as they analyze these types of materials?
Mm-hmm. So I think all of those seem like complex sort of academic debates, but also that have real world consequences. And this is maybe one of the places where the Desario chair sort of comes, like where its existence matters at the War College, is at this nexus between theory and practice, or the nexus between the academic study of intelligence and the practice and use of it in the real world.
Yes, the position actually, as it has grown up, is currently one of an integrator. So I'm an academic with a PhD. I've been studying intelligence for 15 years, but I've been around it, and I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of operators and decision makers, and to understand that side of the world. When I started out studying oversight, I decided I couldn't study oversight without understanding the overseen. So it's basically understanding all the parts of this puzzle and bringing it together. That's why one of our major efforts right now, probably the major effort, is to build a curriculum that integrates all the aspects we've just discussed in this podcast. Thinking about military intelligence, what their needs are, thinking about national level and how that can complement military intelligence. The War College is traditionally focused more on military intelligence. It's an Army War College. But now we're saying there are bigger issues out there that can be drawn from this large community, and we need to bring them in. And I serve as a boundary crosser, I would say, a person who crosses over between the worlds to make sure we can get the best for our students here, get the best part of these different communities pulled together so that we can educate our students so that they're excellent consumers, the best consumers. They're fast, they're knowledgeable, and they're critical when they are faced with floods of information, intelligence information further down the road.
Great. So as we close out the podcast, let's talk a little bit about the podcast that will follow this one. So we've got a series of five interviews, essentially, between academics and practitioners. Some of the big names in the field are going to be sort of rolling through the War Room podcast in the next few episodes. Can we talk a little bit about what our listeners might hear from these podcasts if they'll stay tuned?
Definitely. So we had amazing luck. We asked the best and brightest from the intelligence community and academia to come speak to us, and we got them all. They all came. So we have several speakers here from academia, and then we have a political analyst. We've got the former director of national intelligence to give us his perspective on this. All of them have their own distinct perspectives, and that's what we aimed for in this series. We don't want one voice. We want to get as many as possible here so we can learn from this, so that we can learn about competing viewpoints and widen again our aperture on the issue of intelligence. So we have, for example, the former DNI, Jim Clapper, talking about integration of intelligence. We have him talking about the importance of history and the importance of his own experiences. He's been in the business for 50 years. What can he bring so that our students can carry that forward? Another one, for example, Dr. Richard Betts is one of the earliest writers on failure, intelligence failure, and surprise. He'll discuss the issues there. Dr. Rose McDermott is a political psychologist from Brown University, and she talks about bias and learning and narcissism, which is very interesting. So we really span a wide range with this series, and I really hope that students, faculty, and the public will really get something out of this and at least pique their interest in what the intelligence business is all about.
Sure, to learn to ask the right questions, to ask better questions, to be better consumers of information. So we hope that you will stay tuned. Again, there will be five interviews that follow this podcast, and we hope that this will pique your sort of interest in the subject of intelligence, and we will look forward to hearing more from you, Dr. Lester, as you work through the Desario Chair and the U.S. Army War College Foundation to complete this important work as part of the curriculum.
Thanks very much. I look forward to talking to you further.
And that concludes our program. Thank you for listening. The views expressed in this podcast reflect those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views, policies, or positions of the U.S. Army or the Department of Defense. Let us know what you think. Provide us your feedback, comments, or suggestions through our webpage at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. And have a great day.